This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant founder of a software as a service company. We're joined by Mazer Ad, and his co-founder is the Chief Technology Officer of Gocious. He's going to tell us about Gocious, top priorities, what advice he has for people building a successful software as a service company, and a lot more. Mazer, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Gocious?
Thank you. Yes. So I started Gocious about 3 years ago with a main investor and founder where we met here in California. And since then, I've been busy with building up the company. But my background comes mostly from consulting, and I got my undergrad in manufacturing, my degree in manufacturing. And right out of college, and this is actually Middle East, I joined a company that is now a conglomerate supervising the build out of a few manufacturing plants. That's where I got interested in information system, because as part of that project, I needed to put in place the manufacturing plants information systems together. And I decided to pursue my higher education in that field. Nowhere at the time was better than United States, and I still think that's the case. So I applied for universities here, and I got into USC. There was a new program in information management, graduated there. And since then, I've been in one form or the other working in this field, bringing solutions for information management, mostly in consulting originally. Then I had a 10-year in Experian where I was involved in transforming a division in Experian because we were facing stiff competition. And I'm happy to announce that, our strategy at the time, we had an amazing team. The strategy worked really well. And right now, Experian is back in business, stronger than ever. And that's when I felt that it's time to move to my passion, which is usually startups and starting things new. And that's where I am now.
Fantastic. I sense you're backed by a bunch of brilliant people. Talk a little bit about what it's like founding a software as a service company, first investors, where you're at now, some advice you'd have for other founders of software as a service company, and then a little bit more on what Gocious specifically does. But start with telling us a little bit about what it's like founding the company and how it's going and funding and stuff like that.
Sure. I think in that regard, I don't know if I was unique, but I was a bit lucky. We had a founder that has a very successful company, currently well-established mature company in the UK, but they have presence worldwide. This came out of an idea from the belly of that company. It was a project, but they realized that this can have wider application, not just in the field that company, which was mostly automotive, was focused on. So they decided to spin it off. And at that time, they were looking for someone to initiate it and kind of rev it up, so to speak. And they wanted it to be in a hub of technology, which one of the locations in their mind was California. So that's where through one of my friends, we ended up meeting. I was looking for my next venture. I wanted to start something new. So we had a few conversations in Southern California. I looked at the business model, got me very interested. It felt like it's bringing all the pieces of my background from manufacturing to my information management background together. And it sounded very exciting. So as a result of that, he was able to bring in the main seed funding, which is we're still in that mode. We are building up the platform. We have released our initial product to the market, and we're adjusting it to make sure that it's a complete fit for our current customers. And we're in the process of growing and onboarding at the moment. It's this phase of it is new. It started 3-4 months ago, but we're pretty happy with the progress so far.
Well, I mean, it's so exciting. When you look at where you're at, past the seed fund round, working forward, what are the big priorities currently? What do you look at as your top three or so priorities currently as you push forward?
You know, maybe this is a little bit, personal or something, but I think every entrepreneur or somebody who's passionate about starting something new shares this, which is, in the end of the day, nothing is more satisfying than creating something that people will appreciate around you and you feel like you're adding value in a form that others appreciate. So, and that's where we are right now. We're partly introducing new features because we've introduced the product and now we realize that we can do better, we can do more. And the other one is to optimize it. So you can call it market fit. I think we're a little bit past that. We found our market. We're just kind of making sure that we put it in this agile growing cadence and we never lose momentum. And that's my focus, is from customer acquisition, but more importantly, value delivery. We're continuously on the march. And we don't lose steam and that innovative spirit that startups usually have in their ingredients to keep growing.
And when you look at this year and currently, I mean, obviously acquiring new customers, building out the platform, continue to do great stuff. Talk for a moment about what you're most excited about right now.
So the things that I'm very excited about is we're starting to have very meaningful conversations with our customers and prospects. Before, we had a lot of market research, we had a lot of theories, we had one-off, for example, focus groups and surveys that we had responses from, beside just a few people that we were in touch with one-on-one. But we are getting to a point that we're having two-way dialogues, we're seeing the problems firsthand, we're kind of going a little bit more in the trenches of the issues that our customers have. And we think because of this information that we're gaining, we can improve the product quite dramatically compared to, let's say, what we were doing 9 months ago, which was, let's say, 50%, yes, this is what the customer wants, and 50%, I think this is how they want it. But now we have much more hands-on experience of the pains and the efficiencies that we can bring on the table, and hopefully we're going to be on that journey at the moment. There's one thing I wanted to mention. You questioned SaaS. And I think this is where it gives companies like us the capability to do this. In a SaaS company, you are taking over not just the production of the software, but also you're taking care of hosting that service, delivering that service on a daily basis to your customers, making it frictionless so they can ask for more services, and also to continuously give them new and improved features on a timely basis. Before SaaS, that was not the case. Before SaaS, what you really had was a series of, applications that people would license the usage, but the lion's share of taking that, putting it in your environment, configuring it for your environment, and then keeping it up to date, whether it's on infrastructure or getting more newer features, was kind of on your side of the fence, which made things quite difficult. There was a lot of friction in creating upgrades because now people were hands-on working with this, and any little change would be, causing a lot of friction. So it was very hard to keep it up to date. Then having manpower and staff to keep it secure putting all the patches, hot fixes, you know, making sure it's scalable and available. You have all the hardware and power you need at any given time to make sure that this runs in a smooth way was considered an overhead. And these costs are not, nowadays with the sophistication of hardware and software and, you know, the hacking and the security, these things are not cheap. So with the SaaS, you're able to bring this into a more central place, give it to the people that do this for a living 24/7. It's not considered overhead for them. This is their job and life to make sure that they protect their customers' assets and also deliver these services. And they're continuously behind the scenes keeping this software up to date. They're bringing documentation, training, always, because they obviously want to grow their own business. So it works really well. And I don't think it would have been possible without cloud infrastructures and the methods of delivery we have now with the internet and, you know, high speed internet, you know, at our disposal.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating thing. There's a great software service company brings that depth of support and support to their customers and what they're doing. And can't do it well without it. You had mentioned something a moment ago about the closer you're aligned with customers, the more that you're able to figure out what they really need and the adjustments they need to make it work great for them. And I think that's such an important point, isn't it? Because if you could develop software platform, whatever one's developing, but until you're intimate with your customers and really feel what they need and see what they need and have that real feedback loop, you could very well be missing the boat. But the more you get close to them and you're very aligned, the better off you are and the better chance you are of really being a seamless part of their team with less friction and really solving problems. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just kind of putting it on the table. One of the things I love about startups is that layer is very thin. In other words, you, if you choose to do so, your communication with your customer is firsthand. Whereas in a large organization, simply because of sheer number of people, you have no choice but to filter down. If you have the right ears on the walls and are listening to your customers, then you have to find a way to filter down and finally reach the right people to be able to take action, which comes with a delay. But in a startup, you have this luxury of just, you know, being right in the forefront of your customers, seeing what they exactly are doing and working with them hand in hand to build something. And I'll tell you, our business model, even though in certain areas has the foundation is the same, but I can tell you our application, this is probably our third pivot, if you want to call it. And simply because of the dialogues we've had with our customers, we've realized how we can turn the software around, make it more applicable in certain scenarios. And we love to do this. When we see that, you know, our customers coming in, requesting something, and we see the pain, and we know that we can go out there and help them, we just get energized. And it's also amazing in startup how when you put the culture correctly, the counter also is you know, I guess, dampening. In other words, when you have this kind of a innovative culture, then what happens is when you're building things or just maintaining things and you're not bringing new things to the market, or you're bringing new things to the market, but customers really aren't that crazy about, then you see the morale of the staff dampens. And if you don't have churn, then you probably have just a low morale in meetings, right? The air gets sucked out of your meetings. So it's just if you put the machine and the people and the systems together in a very proactive way, you can see, you know, you can enjoy not only the value you deliver, but also from your side, you have a very fun team to work with.
Your point on pivot in any business thing, this is why founders need so much energy and leaders need so much energy. Almost every business to be successful is periodically or regularly making pivots to make sure they're really hitting it correctly, that they're really doing what their customers need them to do and that it's got the right people aligned around that. And so that notion of pivoting, the point that you've made a few pivots in a couple of years or several years, is actually the sign of great leadership, not a negative. It's the sign of actually paying attention and doing what has to be done. Mezir, I want to thank you for joining us. Where can people learn more about Gocious? Where can they learn more about your company?
So Gocious has a philosophy that, you know, started, and I don't believe that it's going to change anytime soon. And the philosophy is simple. In specifically in manufacturing space or complicated service delivery, so you can kind of think of telecom companies like Verizon or AT&T that have a complicated package of services from data rates to phones to cables, either that kind of service or in manufacturing with physical goods that have complicated configurations and features, we feel that somewhere down the line, the manufacturing world started falling behind when it came to product management and deciding how to control and manage the portfolio of the products they're putting in the market. I'm not saying they're not obviously doing it. They're doing it, and until I would say late 90s and early 21st century, they were in the forefront. But something happened in the software industry with the agile movement that took a lot of its ideas from the manufacturing and then finally kind of sped up, and they're actually kind of like sprinting now. But manufacturing is still a little bit tied into their old ways. There are several reasons. Changing software with massive capital investments in the 90s now ties up that capital. And until you kind of pay it back, it's very hard to make dramatic changes. But having said that, there's a lot of new movements now to kind of move the manufacturing into the next, you know, generation. You can see Industry 4.0 with IoTs coming in, and also you see PLM software coming into the market. All these things are kind of moving the manufacturing to the next level. One thing we still think that it's falling behind and it needs more attention is product management, to give the product managers in the fields more tools so they can have better insight, improved communication, to be able to take the voice of the customer, analyze the market, analyze themselves against the competition all in one place, and then be able to disseminate the final decisions on what products to produce or what products to divest to the other systems and other people across the organization. We think that that hub is still a little bit clunky, and it's all over the place, from spreadsheets to one-off systems. It's not a smooth and easy to use or easy to manage process. And I think that the product managers can be empowered to do much more and to kind of put aside, I guess, daily chores in favor of making critical decisions and working with the rest of the organization to optimize the products. And that's where Gocious is now.
Thank you very much. Mezir, just magnificent what you're doing. Congratulations to you, your co-founder, your investors. Very exciting what you're doing. Congratulations. And can't wait to have you back on in 6 months or a year to hear more what's going on in the update on Gocious. Congratulations on your entrepreneurial journey. Just fantastic.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to that too.